Yeah.
All right. So give me a sense of how you're feeling. How are we doing?
You know, I'm feeling really good about the race. I'm feeling really good about what my team is doing. We are going all across the state, all 72 counties, talking to everybody because I firmly believe you can't lead if you don't listen. And, you know, what I'm hearing from people is what I think a lot of people are hearing, is that people are kind of feeling squeezed economically, and they want somebody who's going to come not just talk about those issues, but have plans to make sure we can lower costs for Wisconsinites.
So the last round of polling, a lot of undecideds, a lot of people still paying attention. How do you talk to people that are really clued in, that don't understand those people who may be worried, like, why aren't you out to a huge lead, but saying it's still early, but also, like, winning over those people and letting them know who you are.
Right. Yeah, you know, it is really early. About 65% of people have not decided who they're going to vote for governor at this point in terms of the Democratic primary. And what I say to them is really look at who can win in November, who has the most experience, who's been able to win in difficult races. I live in Waukesha County, which isn't exactly a bastion of liberalism, and I was able to flip a district there. I think we are a purple state. We want somebody who's going to be leading this state, who's going to be able to reach out to the other side of the aisle and actually get things done.
How do you see the campaign kind of dovetailing right now with Chris Taylor's run for Supreme Court as people are kind of waking up to that race?
Yeah, that I do think that people are going to be paying attention to that Supreme Court race, and then I think right after that race, they're going to be paying attention to the next one, which is going to be the governor's race in the midterms. And so, yeah, we're going to continue to make sure that we're talking to people this entire time. We're going to start gathering signatures in April, and then to the primary in August, and then to November.
I mean, is there kind of like a piggybacking off that, of like the grassroots can get activated for that and then keep them engaged?
Yeah, I do think so. I think people are going to be starting to knock on doors for that Supreme Court race, and they're going to start reminding people that not only is there a spring race coming up, but then you're going to have another race in August that you're going to have to be voting for. So reminding people that this is really important, and that who you elect for the Democratic primary is going to be important for the general.
And talk to me a little about the importance of being at an event like this with labor.
Yeah, so I come from a working class family. My mom was a proud labor union member, and so this comes from my childhood. And, you know, I know how important it is to be able to have collective bargaining within the state and to make sure that everybody who is able to work has dignity in their job, but also are going to have the benefits and the security that labor and unions provide.
All right. That's all we need from you now, so we'll let you go mingle. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
That was overflowing. Well, became the RJ.
Okay. Yeah, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Yeah, I thought you had RJ. Yeah. For a second,
yeah.
I was like...
I don't know. I keep saying it.
Yeah. No. It's okay. Yeah. But
we had a huge crowd.
So I'm hoping there's a ton of excitement.
I think so, too. So I'm hoping the convention that we're going to have in May is going to do pretty well.
Yeah.
And then we're going to try and do a fundraiser here.
Good.
Too, so.
Awesome. I love it. Well, good. Anyway, I can help. Let me know.
Well, you know, if you guys want to come...
Yeah.
If you guys want to come to the...
We're
shooting for April 26th.
Okay. Okay.
We're trying to do it like a... I want it to be a chili cook-off.
Okay.
You know, have a bunch of people, you know, all the great stuff.
Yeah.
But it kind of changed to be chili and soup. Either one.
Either I love one. That. I
Whichever
love
you want to
That's awesome. Well, good. Well, I'm not allowed to say yes to anything on my calendar
because
they always have something cooking.
Yeah.
And they get mad if I do that.
No, that's okay.
But
I'm going to be trying to invite as many candidates as possible. Because
awesome.
I figure, you know, we can do like a little fundraiser. We can do signature stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Well, good. Awesome. Well, good. Good seeing you.
Right, we'll
I'm going to wander around.
Yes, do it.
Sarah Rodriguez, Lieutenant Governor. How are you?
Good.
Cool. Hey, how are you?
You look like this lady.
I do look like that lady. I know. I do. Sometimes. Although, they glam you up.
Oh, that's an AI picture.
I know. Okay. Do you remember those glamour shots? So that's what it always feels like.
Okay.
I know.
So what's your hot button for while you're running? Out?
So, I mean, I think it's what people are telling me, which is things are costing way too much, and that poor and fixed incomes are struggling to pay their property taxes. Health care costs are just going up exponentially. I mean, child care comes up all the time, too. It's so expensive, even if you can't always find it.
Right.
You know, because there's like child care deserts all across the state. I'm just glad my kids are old now. They're 16 and 19. So I got one down. He's in college. I got one to go. So hopefully they both watch.
Right. Yes. So we just got one letter 2 weeks ago that our rent was going up 7%. $80.
Wow.
That took care of the social security.
Well, that's the whole raise. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, and then the cost of gas is going up now because of stuff going on in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And then, you know, everything. Food prices are going up. I've seen my grocery store.
Even if they're staying the same, it's too much.
It's too much. Yeah. No, I agree. So we have to really have concrete plans about how we're going to be able to address those things.
Yeah.
Be important. But supporting unions is one way to do that, right? Because we know that when we have union labor, it lives wages for everybody. It's not, it's all about the same. So, but yeah. Very good.
I'm used to dairy environment. I still keep track of stuff. But they said 20 cents because of all the rules.
So like rising dams.
Yeah. The government's always wise.
Danger
and expensive milk.
Yeah. Wow, 25 cents. That's insane. I don't know how you live on that. You can't. Yeah.
So they're only breeding that cattle to beef.
Yep.
And now they don't have horses.
Yeah.
And you always kind of think 18 months ahead for what you're doing.
Yeah.
It takes that long before it gets affected.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And it's been, what I hear from people too is, you know, you need to be able to plan, and everything within the Trump administration is so chaotic that you can't even plan.
Right.
For a year or two, or how do you budget as a business owner? How do you budget as a farmer?
It's almost like he's making decisions and thinking he's going to die the next day, but he doesn't.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, what do you feel like?
I know. He's not thinking.
I don't think he sleeps.
No.
I mean, truthfully, he doesn't need sleep, but on the other hand,
I'm a nurse by background, and in my clinical opinion, the cheese has slid off the cracker.
But his face is
concerning.
He's a lot of fries short of the happy meal. That's his favorite restaurant anyway, right?
Well, nice talking to you guys. Thanks
for sharing.
For some reason, everything's like your cousin's restaurant from Ohio. And I don't know why. Like, I must have that face. And then it's like, I know. How are things going, though? I have no idea. I don't look until night because it just changes so rapidly.
They were all saying that all of the
Republicans. Okay. Oh, I will find out. I don't know where my EV went somewhere. Yeah, she's over there. She's the little thing. I will see if I'm in Montana. Are coming. Okay. So maybe. I hope so. Either that or I might be doing a video because I feel like I might be in. All the governor candidates are coming because the Democratic Governors Association. Okay. Sorry if I'm not there. I have to visit you again. I'll just like knock on your door and be like, hey.
Hi, Sarah.
Hey, how are you?
I got your name right tonight.
You did? It's all good. Don't worry. This is nice, though. I like it. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good.
Struggling to find different things to support children.
Yeah.
We don't have an actual kitchen there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The guy that runs it is the catering
company. A new catering company. Tracy sees me like it. She has no idea what she wants to do. Like, no clue. And so my whole goal, she's a junior this year, is to like make her shadow every like job she's ever thought about or mentioned to me ever. And one of the things she talks about is like woodworking or welding, and like, let's try it out. I hope so. It'll be interesting. Right, and then she, if she doesn't like it, she's like, but she's kind of artistic, she's really good at math, and I kind of like, and she likes working with her hands, so I thought, well, that would be a good idea.
Okay.
I wouldn't blame you, you know, if it was anything else. It's totally fine. It is Wisconsin. So you put a little bit of whiskey in that and nobody would think it out.
Not me.
Not you.
No,
You're teetotaler.
You would have to, you know, wake me up tomorrow morning.
I'd have to be the one to like,
Lynn!
I always say, because we're always going to try to give me a drink before I speak, and I'm like, oh, I don't drink ever before I speak. Okay. God knows what I would say.
So tell me, since you're going to be our next governor.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are you glad Robin is gone?
Yes. I know.
Well, there were just so many things that he didn't even let go through that the vast majority of Republicans and Democrats wanted.
Is there any chance? That was so frustrating. Is there any chance now that because the maps are now supposedly fair, that we could
get a trifecta?
Yes. It is possible now.
We have a 5% swing towards Democrats, and they have a trifecta. So we have to flip two seats in the Senate. They look good. Like the maps look great. Well, Democrats, we have to flip 5 in the Assembly. 4 of those are within a percentage point when Trump was on the ballot. So if we have a little bit of like a swing, we have a trifecta. It'll be tight. But
I don't care if it's tight, just so we can
we
do
can
it.
Do all the things that we wanted to do. And that's what I always talk about, is that we'll only have 2 years, you know, if we get a Democratic trifecta to show people what it looks like when Democrats over. And if we are, we do not have our stuff, I was going to say something else, our stuff together.
I'll say it for you.
Thank you. Then, you know, they're going to flip it right back to Republicans, because why does it matter, right?
Yeah.
You told us you were going to do all these things, and you didn't do them, so.
Well, that's the way they always do it.
I know, and we're such a fickle little state, so we have got to make sure that we have the right person at the top of the ticket, we flip those chambers, and then we, you know, so we need to be able to. So, all right, that's my goal.
Okay, I'm right there.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Nice to meet you. I was up there earlier. I think it's been up there a little bit, but they had decent snow. It wasn't as bad as it had been the last time. So there's snowmobile trailers and all that kind of stuff, which was super interesting up there. They usually do ice fishing.
They usually do.
Yeah, I don't know if they do or not. Maybe I just didn't go.
Maybe I just didn't have enough ice. I think they usually do dark sauce.
They do, and then just to make sure that ice is going.
We've had ice up here, but it's
And every time I go fishing at BEW, the fish are always biting right before I got there, and then they bite right after I left. And I'm like, bad luck. Although I do beat the governor at the fishing opening. Every year we bet.
So what's he going to do when he retires?
You know, I don't know. I think he was saying he was going to go to all the state parks. He's going to make an entire that would be amazing. So yeah, I think, and I imagine he'll consult on education policy or something. He's done such a great job in Wisconsin. Yeah, I
still don't give him enough credit, and I don't think he gives himself enough credit.
Yeah, he's done a really amazing job, particularly with the hostile legislature. I think that's important.
All right. How are you guys? Did that flip and talk to me. Oh my God.
I know.
Oh my God. You know the
problem
is we're a pendulum state.
That's why we need the right candidate at the top of the ticket. We do, because we're a purple state.
The other problem is up north of 29, we're just all in. I don't understand how people don't see that.
But he is underwater. So, and he's doing it.
I have gone through this nightmare with the DPM or the DWD like you would not have been.
Really?
It's been a nightmare.
Well,
it's just horrible.
Are you still struggling with it?
Well, no, I went to court and I lost. But the point is, when Walker came in and they did the whole right to work crap, they added on that stupid 1 week of waiting.
Yeah.
And then they made it so that the Department of Workforce Development can go back 18 months to any employer you worked for. And I had a little part-time job with Goodwill, like a... I mean, that I quit.
I quit.
And then I did the whole termination thing with their attorney who said, no, you weren't eligible because we didn't care who worked for you. And then they decided, they did another reversal on that, and they decided that, well, I was eligible for like 5 weeks.
We'll see. Well, good. Thank you guys for being here supporting. Yeah. Sarah Rodriguez, Lieutenant Governor. Hey, how are you? Sarah Rodriguez, Lieutenant Governor. Hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah. I'm Craig Smith. I'm with
Are you also union, or are you just supporting Dad?
Just supporting Dad.
Okay. So, good. How old are you? Are you like, okay, you're the real person. Okay, yeah. I can't tell him how old you are. I turned 50 last year, and so everybody looks like a baby to me. So, I was asking just because my daughter, she's 16, and she doesn't know what she wants to do. And so, I'm making her go to it's a program. It's like a summer program where you go through all the building trades and then you can start to see if she would like it.
Sarah, I'll talk to you in a bit.
Okay, sounds good. So we're going to see if she likes any of that stuff. Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, he's a lens.
Oh, that's super cool. I love that, yeah. I don't know. She has no idea what she wants to do with it. It's not even like in the same category. Like she's like police officer, hairdresser, veterinarian, welder. Like pick at least a lane, you know? Like something. But no. So we'll see. She might need like a year to work and then figure out like what she wants to do. Listen.
We're doing things, but you know.
Oh, okay. Well, I love you too. Yeah. How do you think? Are people paying attention yet to the Supreme Court race, or still kind of know?
Still kind of know, which is trouble.
April. Yeah, it's coming up.
It's coming up soon.
Right across the table.
Yeah, that's true. That's also the thing here, because it's all none of the local elections are really contested.
Oh, okay.
Like no county board, no school board, no city council.
Yeah.
So Exactly. The only race is that one, and then referendum.
Yeah. Well, and I think it gets a little warmer. People can get outdoors. And
exactly.
When are sign guys going to sign them?
Yeah, once we can get signs out.
Signs where the ground's not frozen, so you can stick the poles.
Exactly.
Do you really? I love that. That's awesome.
What size bit do you use?
Jeff has his drill.
Yeah,
and then he just gets through the frost.
Your size bit?
Oh, bit? No, I don't.
I've got a sign.
Once we put yours out,
there you go. That's true. My primary is in August.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I can't tell you.
Awesome. Thank you guys for the work you do, honestly.
Good to have you
here. It's not easy. Yeah, thank you. People, my daughter has no idea what she wants to do in her life, and she's a junior, she's 16. So I'm making her go to the building trades has this like summer program called Big Step. And so I'm gonna make her go to that. Just to see if she likes it, you know? Because she's good at math, she likes working with her hands, which is my sit in the classroom. And she speaks Spanish, which I think would be very valuable in the trades as well. Here's my problem with this chat, which I love dearly, is that she can't even pick like a language. Okay, so it's like, so she goes to like police officer, hairdresser, veterinarian, welder, and then she came up with nursing the other day, and I was like, okay, can we just like try something? So we'll see.
Hi, before it gets busy,
very good. Thank you. I know. I hide him. Yeah, he's from Mexico. I know. So I cash in my chips very carefully. When I bring you along, you know, so, you know in a marriage, you gotta like cash in and really care.
Well, I get it. I bring you along, but sometimes you don't
I know. So, oftentimes if it's like a Latino, I'll meet you eventually, but he has to travel. I'd rather go out with the guys.
Thank you. more about my platform, who I am, and what I want to do for our country.
One of the candidates running for Congress in this district. So, if you guys got any questions at all, I'm more than happy.
We have a card.
I do have a card. But more importantly, I'm happy to just talk to people. I've been a union member for 17 years, so it's not exactly out of my norm. But I'll be around.
What? Our table needs anything, it's Lance.
Lance. Okay. You're the designated person?
No. Yeah. I got seniority on all these pumps.
I'm Mike Heinrich, by the way. I'm one of the candidates running for Congress in the 60s. That's why we're all here, was to talk to people. But also, I would have probably come here anyways because I've been a 17-year member of IBEW. So. It's nice because these are the kind of dinners I went to anyway.
Right.
I just have to dress like a little. I would have worn a t-shirt.
I bet you it's Sheboygan. Oh, well, it was real quick, real brief.
Welcome everyone, to the 57th annual Fond du Lac Labor Council Recognition Dinner. Everybody would please take their seats. Everybody that has their ticket, this year we kind of changed it up a little bit. We've got a ticket stub, so if you put your stub in the raffle, that's right against the wall over there, if you put your stub in there, that'll be great, so you can be in for the door prizes. Another thing is about a week and a half ago, there was a wedding ring, a men's wedding ring found in the parking lot. The Fond du Lac Council parking lot there. If anybody's missing a men's wedding ring, please let me know at the end of this.
I got three of them are missing.
Just a public announcement.
Thanks.
At this time, I'd like to introduce to everybody the E-Board, the Fond du Lac County Labor Council, my Vice President, Mr. Paul Bears.
Justly, so that families and communities can flourish. We pray political leaders will find the courage and wisdom to stop attacks on workers' rights and protections. We pray for everyone involved in the union movement and thank them for their sacrifice. We pray for oppressed people everywhere that freedom and dignity will be swift in coming. We pray for the safety of our servicemen and women. We give thanks for this meal and for the bounty we are about to enjoy. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Bonnie.
I can't say that they didn't see it.
All right, we're going to get started a little bit here. We're going to get back in. But tonight's a celebration of labor. And I want to welcome a celebration. Woo! Thank you, Bonnie.
Everybody else is still eating the brown one.
I want to welcome to this dinner our local lodges and our groups that are here tonight to see the communication workers. Are you here?
Here we are.
The IBEW, are you here? Laborers 330, are you here? The NALC. Branch 125. There they are. Is the Fox Valley Labor Council here tonight? IPEIU. We tease at the lodge that they're listed as the last on the list. But the IAM, Local 1947. Normally dominates the conversation. Northeast Wisconsin Building and Construction, are you here? I know we have some local politicians here tonight. I'm looking at you, Robert. I'm also looking at some people that are here running, especially in the 6th District. We have some pro-labor candidates here.
Hell yeah.
I'm really glad to have them here. Wojo, you're here. Michael, you're here. John?
John's here. John's here.
Am I missing anybody? Am I missing anybody? All right. I think we're good. Tonight this is a celebration of labor, but we've had a rough year. We've had a really rough year. Last year was kind of a downer year, and I was ready to prepare a speech of a lot of gloom and doom. Some of the things that I said last year have absolutely been true. We have a completely neutered Department of Labor, but I've got to tell you that alleged sexual problems and funds missing or another alleged was not on my bingo card. Not on my bingo card. We can do better. And I was wrote a lot of gloom and doom things about what was going on today and yesterday, and then the the sink broke at the lodge. Had to call a plumber in. Sure, Steve ain't gonna be happy. And I ended up tearing up a lot of my stuff. And then today, the Reverend Jesse Jackson was laid to rest, and Obama gave a speech. It was a speech about having hope. Something I've been lacking in the last year. We can have hope because we have really great candidates, we do. And we have a lot of them. We have a lot of them. People that are stepping up to change the world we live in. You can be part of that change, but you have to be involved. And we have to get our young people involved. It's no longer a question of going, well, you know, they don't want to, it's not a thing anymore. They have to be involved. They don't have a choice if they're gonna keep the country going for working folks. And to that end, you know, I've been thinking about candidates that we're looking at. And we're in the state of Wisconsin, we're holding the line. We're just barely holding the line. But we're going to need people that can work the levers of government. And one of those people, I believe, is Sarah Rodriguez. Sarah Rodriguez is a nurse, public health expert, a problem solver who has spent her life helping people and getting results. As Wisconsin's 46th Lieutenant Governor, she brings more than two decades of experience in healthcare, public service, and executive leadership to the fight for working families across the Badger State. Look, we've got a lot of people in our unions now that have family members that have lost a lot of their coverage for insurance. It's painful and it's devastating to those families in our union. Sarah is the daughter of a union mom and a Vietnam veteran. Sarah was born in Milwaukee and raised in Brookfield, which is right next to my hometown. I love Fond du Lac. I've lived here for almost 30 plus years. How long have we been here? 33 years. I've spent my life here in Fond du Lac. I grew up in West Dallas, where every four corners had either a union hall or a bar.
Or both.
Sounds about right. Sounds about right.
Ernie is a really good guy. He and I talk a lot.
Sarah's family story was shaped by hard work, public service. Her grandparents ran a dairy farm in Richfield County, and her parents lived in a trailer before starting their family. Those early values, dignity and work, pride in community, and the belief that everyone deserves a fair shot continue to guide Sarah's leadership today. Sarah built her career from the ground up. She earned a dual master's degree in nursing and public health from Johns Hopkins University. Served as an epidemic intelligence service officer in the CDC. I don't know if a lot of you people know, but we're suffering from a great big pandemic right now in many states. We could use an epidemic intelligence service right now. And led the national and international disease outbreak responses. She's held leadership roles in both the public and the private sectors, including as vice president of population health at one of the largest healthcare systems in the Midwest, and as the VP at a Fortune 500 company. She also founded her own small business. In 2020, Sarah flipped a suburban Milwaukee seat to win election in the Wisconsin State Assembly, where she championed healthcare access, which is very important right now. Reproductive rights and policy to make life more affordable for Wisconsin families. 2 years later, she was elected Lieutenant Governor alongside Governor Tony Evers, becoming one of the few public health professionals in the nation to hold statewide office. Can't tell you how important this is right now, that we have people, working families, children, dying in this country from diseases that are preventable. Now, as the first Democrat to launch a campaign for governor following Governor Evers' retirement, Sarah is stepping up once again, this time to lead Wisconsin forward. Her campaign is focused on expanding access to affordable health care, something we all sorely need. Fixing the health care workforce crisis, protecting reproductive freedom, investing in public education, and building an economy that works for everyone, that includes us in this room. From rural farmers to union workers to small business owners, Sarah lives in Waukesha County with her husband and their two children. She is also a proud Girl Scout troop leader. Returned Peace Corps volunteer. And the kind of leader who's not afraid to lace up her sneakers, hit the road, and listen to the people she serves. We need pro-union candidates. Sarah is one of those candidates in a state right now that is suffering from a lot of candidates. I would ask you and I would call upon all of you to get out there and look and participate and find out what is going on in these elections. But at this time, I want to introduce to you the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin, my friend, Sarah Rodriguez.
Organizers, union members, all of you, it is so important that we recognize the hard work that you do every day. And I want to start by recognizing Stephanie Bloomingdale again. Yes, Wisconsin AFL-CIO. And I I want to recognize all the union members in this room. The IBEW, the laborers, the plumbers and steam fitters, SMART, I didn't put you last, IAM, the steel workers, IATSE, letter carriers, OPEIU, UFCW, IAFF, CWA, and our building trades. You are the workers who build Wisconsin, power Wisconsin, and keep Wisconsin running every single day. For me, it's a special honor to be in this room because I didn't come to this movement, to this fight from the outside. I grew up in it. My mom was a teaching assistant and a proud WEAC member. My dad served in the Navy during Vietnam and came home to fix telephones at Wisconsin Bell. There you go. We grew up in a working class union household. We didn't have a lot, but I never once doubted that my parents had dignity in their work, and I knew exactly why, because they had a union. They taught me that you work hard, you look out for your neighbors, and you never back down from a fight. Those values affect every decision that I make. And they remind me every day that when we talk about Wisconsin's economy, we are really talking about you. The electricians wiring our homes, the laborers building our roads and bridges, the firefighters keeping our communities safe, the steel workers powering our industries, the nurses and healthcare workers caring for our families. Wisconsin works because union workers show up every day and get the job done. Thank you. And I want to be clear tonight, as Lieutenant Governor and as someone who is running to be the governor of Wisconsin, I will always stand with labor, not just in speeches, not just during campaign season, but when decisions are made that determine whether working families get ahead or fall behind, I will stand with you. I come to this perspective shaped by my own career. Before I was Lieutenant Governor, I worked night shifts as an ER nurse. And if you want to understand the dignity of work, spend a night in the emergency department. You see construction workers coming in after long days on the job, factory workers who have spent decades doing physically demanding work, parents who are working two jobs just to try to keep their families afloat. I still think about one patient, a single dad who came in with cardiac issues. He needed a full workup. He needed to be admitted. But he checked himself out against medical advice. Not because he didn't care about his health, because he couldn't afford to miss work and he didn't have anyone to watch his kids. That moment stayed with me. Because you learn very quickly that work is about more than a paycheck. It's about stability, dignity. It's about knowing that if you work hard in Wisconsin, you should be able to build a good life here. That's what the labor movement has fought for generation after generation. The 8-hour workday, workplace safety, healthcare, retirement security. These rights weren't handed down by politicians. They were won because workers stood together and demanded them. Wisconsin built one of the strongest middle classes in America, but we all know the truth about the last decade. Working people in Wisconsin were forced to fight battles you shouldn't have to fight. We saw attacks on collective bargaining. We saw politicians trying to divide working families. And we saw policies designed to weaken unions and tilt the playing field towards corporate power. But here's what those politicians never understood about Wisconsin workers. You don't back down. Yeah. You organize, you stand together, and you keep building. And right now,
across this country, something important is happening again. Workers are standing up. Union drives are growing. Apprenticeships are expanding. Young workers are rediscovering something the labor movement has always known. When workers stand together, workers win. And there is real good news for labor right here in Wisconsin. We are investing in infrastructure at levels we have not seen in generations. Roads, bridges, water systems, broadband. These projects are creating thousands of jobs across our state. But here's what matters. Those jobs should go to Wisconsin workers. Yeah. They should support registered apprenticeships, and they should build union careers, not temporary jobs. Under a Rodriguez administration, that is exactly what we will fight for. Because when taxpayer dollars are invested in our economy, they should create family-supporting union jobs. For decades, unions have understood something policymakers sometimes forget. The best workforce development plan already exists. It's called a union apprenticeship. You train the workers the right way. You pass down skills from one generation to the next, and you build the workforce that powers our economy. That model works. And in Wisconsin, we should be expanding it, not undermining it. Another reason I'm optimistic right now is what we are seeing from younger workers. Across the country, they are discovering the power of collective action. They're organizing, they're demanding fair pay, they're insisting on dignity at work. And they're learning the lesson that labor movement has always known. Solidarity isn't just a word, it's how working people change the future. This brings me to the stakes in 2026. This election will decide where we are going as Wisconsin for the next decade. Will we continue to build an economy where workers have a seat at the table? Or will we go backwards to policies that weaken unions and silence workers' voices? We already know where Tom Tiffany stands. He supports so-called right-to-work laws that weaken unions. He opposes prevailing wage protections. He votes against the public schools and training programs working families count on. He talks about working families when he's running for office, but governs for corporate interests once he's in there. That's not the Wisconsin that I believe in. And it's not the Wisconsin that working people deserve. I believe in a Wisconsin where if you work full time, you can support your family, where the skilled trades are respected, where workers are given the freedom to organize, where infrastructure projects support union labor and apprenticeships, and where the next generation sees a future in building things, fixing things, and caring for people. That's the Wisconsin we're fighting for. And I want to say something directly to the members in this room. Your voice matters more than ever. Union members are organizers. You talk to coworkers. You talk to your neighbors. You talk to your families. And when labor organizes, labor wins. And when labor votes, all of Wisconsin wins. This has been true for generations, and it'll be true again in 2026. I still think about that dad who walked out of my ER. I don't know what happened to him, but I know this. He deserved better. He deserved a Wisconsin where a full day's work meant real wages, real benefits, and real care for his family. And that kind of Wisconsin doesn't build itself. It gets built by working people, by union workers, by the men and women who stand together and demand that work in America comes with dignity. That's what the labor movement has always been about. It's about solidarity. It's about community. It's about when we stand together, we can build something better. The belief that we built the American middle class. And together, we are going to build the next chapter in Wisconsin, one where working people are not left behind, where good union jobs exist in every corner of this state, and where workers are treated with the dignity and respect that they deserve. Thank you for doing the work that you do. Thank you for organizing. Thank you for carrying forward the proud tradition of the labor movement. Together, we're going to continue to build a Wisconsin that works for working people. And together, we're going to win the future Wisconsin workers deserve. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you very much.